Morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get this out of the way here. I don't know about you, but the spring forward time change, it comes every year, and I know it comes every year, and I know it's coming, but the adjustment from waking up in the daylight to immediately waking up in the dark gets me every time. And those of us with kids, you can't imagine the difficulty is getting kids to wake up an hour earlier than normal because they don't use alarm clocks. So anyway, I'm glad to see everybody here, especially the ones with kids and all of us, really. Anyway, I don't see any visitors that have not been here before. If I'm missing you or don't see you somewhere, I apologize. I don't want you to leave disappointed today. We have a new preacher coming. He'll be here next week. And then we've got a couple more weeks, and then Greg will be here for good at that point in the beginning of April. So just wanted to start with that. What I want to talk about, I asked Ben when I gave him those scripture readings this morning, was to emphasize light and emphasize just that characteristic or that metaphor, that picture in your mind of a bright light. And I tried to find a picture that was really bright. I thought about bringing in a spotlight and just waking everybody up because we lost that hour tonight. But instead I just Googled the brightest, looking light I thought would show up really bright on the PowerPoint. But that's what I want to talk about today. Go ahead and turn, if you're still there, turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read that again here in a minute. But the angle I kind of wanted to look at this morning is basically, do you struggle with your light being under a basket instead of on the lampstand? Just a recent story of one of my failures is what we'll call it. Recently at work, I overheard a coworker stating to another coworker over in another cubicle somewhere, quote, "Church of Christ people think everybody else is going to hell." Admittedly, I let that one go. I mean, how do you walk over and join in that conversation, out of the blue when you weren't part of that conversation? But nonetheless, there was an opportunity. I let it go. I didn't strike up a discussion. I had a really good excuse, like I just said, but not a really good reason for not striking up that discussion. So I had let that go, and I hid my light in that circumstance when I heard that. So this morning I'd like to look at one area that tends to hide our light. There's many of them. We can go through many things. We actually touched on it just very briefly in class this morning. There's many things we can look at that forces us to tend to hide our light. And then we'll look at a couple of areas where our lights can shine and how we can make our light shine. So let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 once again. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And this is going to be, this is the last slide for my sermon. Number one, I kind of didn't leave myself a whole lot of time to do a PowerPoint show. But number two, I want us, everything that we talk about this morning and the things we go through, I want us all to have the underlying verse in our minds and to think of everything we go through in light of this verse, and pun intended. Think of this verse in light of everything that we talk about. Most of us, if not all of us, probably read this passage and think to ourselves, "Well, we've got this. We understand this." We probably think everyone can see how good I am. Everyone can see the good things I do. I help my neighbors whenever I can. They need help with the refrigerator. I walk over there and I help them. I may come across a homeless person every once in a while and buy them a meal when they ask me to every once in a while, and so on and so forth. We all have those scenarios. You know what we probably don't think? We probably don't think, man, I am really awesome at talking to others about Jesus. I know Andrew Bowie, that is just outgoing. That is not one of my talents, so to speak. And I'm not good at that. It's awkward. And I'm sure it probably is for some of us too. We probably don't think I'm really good at bringing up religion in conversation. We probably don't think I'm really good at reaching out to non-believers. Do you struggle with letting your light shine in that regard? Do you struggle? Because I do. If I'm honest with myself, I'm not very good at this. My comfort zone tends to be more under the basket than out there shining and everybody for everybody to see. Turn over to John chapter 1. There's several verses once we get further on into the lesson, so be ready to flip. But right now, turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 says, "There's a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light," that is John the Baptist was not that light, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." So Jesus is the true light, and John was to bear witness of that light. That is, he was sent to declare that Jesus is the light and to show others the light, and that light is given to every man coming into the world. And we have all been given this light, as he said, and that light is given to every man coming into the world. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world and to shine our light. And that's the verse I've underlined there, and that's what I want to keep in our minds as we go through this. So first, let's take a look at an area that tends to put our light under a basket. And when I bring this up, it's more of an angle from, does it allow people to see Jesus in us? Complaining and grumbling. This is something I think we really need to be careful with, really think about. It really takes discipline to control that in us, because it really is so easy to complain, right? It is so easy to find the negative in something, so easy to see the negative in another person, so easy to complain about this or that. It's just human nature. It's so easy to complain. It's so easy to get trapped in a conversation that is just a big complaint session of negativity, is what I'll call it. I'm sure all of us agree with and understand Jesus' introduction to let our light shine, but just because we agree, just because we understand with the statement and we know what it means, doesn't mean we're actually following the instruction. I mean, I've mentioned this before, but and this is a common phrase, what we do says a whole lot more about what we believe than what we say we do. So we can understand what Jesus is saying here. We can agree with it, but if we do it, do we really believe it? Do we really want to be the light? So turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 14 through 16. "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So here's kind of the thought that I wanted to get at. Grumbling, complaining in front of others, much less, we mentioned God hears our grumblings in the light of the Israelites complaining, we're out of water and whatnot. They were complaining and grumbling. God hears it. God hears our grumblings. But who else hears our grumblings and who else hears our complaints? The world hears our complaints. And are we shining our light when we go off on a spill of negativity and a spill of complaints? So just think about that. Do all things without complaining and disputing. And, you know, I fall trap into this far too often, way more than I need to. And this is Paul writing from prison. He's writing in a place where what he is saying is hard to do, because where is he? He's in prison, probably the worst environment he could be in, uncomfortable, you know, whatever we can imagine the situation that Paul is in. But this is another instruction, hard to do. We understand what it means, but are we actually doing it? Complaining is easy. Paul very well could have just easily just complained. Not complaining is hard. Even as Paul was in prison in terrible conditions, uncomfortable, hungry, in pain, I don't know how they treated him. He said this from a place where it would have been so easy to complain, but he actually said back in chapter 1 in verse 12 that everything that had happened to him and had actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was shining his light despite the circumstances. He wasn't complaining, thrown in prison, and all the things that had happened to him and him shining his light to others. What happened? The furtherance of the gospel. And that should be our goal in life, is to further the gospel, tell folks the good news. And another thought, do we realize how God feels about complaining? Turn back to the Old Testament to Numbers in chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, and we'll read verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. And we had hit on the Exodus portion of this. But this was only 3 days after God had delivered the Israelites from Egypt, and they were already complaining against God. Think back a week. Think back over the last 2 weeks. Think back over the last month. I can think of, you know, several times where I complained about something and to others. And, you know, if you think of those situations, think of this verse. Think how angry God was. He was so angry at their complaining. What did He do? He lit them on fire. He lit out the outskirts and showed them what He thought about complaining. So think about last week, last 2 weeks, last month. Would you have survived if you were out in the outskirts with the Israelites that day? I know I can do a lot better. We can all be better. All of us in this room, we have been blessed. Do we really have anything in the grand scheme, in the big picture, do we really have anything to complain about? We don't have anything to complain about. Now, there are many more ways that we could discuss that puts our light under that basket. But I think this was probably the most applicable thing that we do that keeps our light from shining, and the challenge is this. If we tend to hide our light under a basket because of complaining, I'll even throw being negative in there. Let's focus on doing better. The next day, the next week, let's focus on that and have that in our mind and have the discipline to control ourselves in that way. And then now we'll look at the couple of things I picked out to talk about ways to let our light shine. The most obvious one is in this verse. It says, let your good works... The underlying portion, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So turn back to Matthew chapter 5. And just look at verse 16, and we'll just read it one more time because it's a really important verse and I want us to have that in our mind. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works in heaven. So let's look at this area that tends to put our light up on a lampstand for all to see, not under a basket, and that is good works. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this is a very familiar passage where Paul is telling the Ephesians that we have been saved by grace through faith, but that doesn't mean we have been saved to keep our light to ourselves. He says we were created in Jesus Christ when we made that decision for good works, meaning we let our light shine. We don't cover it up. We let the world see our decision. We let the world see and know the good news that we heard and that we followed. And we do good because we are saved by grace, and our faith causes us to let our light shine. Turn over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And Paul tells Titus to go and remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Or in other words, what does that mean? That means be good citizens. We do good because we are saved by grace. Sorry, wrong line. Paul had left Titus in Crete, according to chapter 1 and verse 5, to set things in order and to appoint elders. In verse 12 it says that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Who better to see our light than us in front of people like that? What situation would we be in? How effective could we be? How good could we be if we cover our light in that situation? And that's what Paul was reminding Titus to do, remind them to be good citizens, which is a way to shine your light. Apparently, Cretans were notorious for not being good citizens, and a way for believers to shine their light was to be good citizens. Verse 2 goes on to say, there in chapter 3, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So Titus reminds them to be ready for every good work, to shine their light, which was to basically be kind to people, be humble, be good citizens. Now turn back over to James chapter 2, or turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we'll read verses 14 through 22. Another very familiar passage. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and none of you says to them, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? So another familiar passage here, and what good is having faith if we keep our light hidden under a basket? What good is our faith if no one ever even sees it? What good is our faith if nobody even knows we have faith? It's not letting our light shine. Not only does this passage explain the connection between faith and works, but it uses an example of taking care of a brother or sister in need. We've all heard folks that we can describe as, oh, he'll give you the shirt off his back to help you out. We all know those people. This passage should hit home for us. You know, for example, how many of us here own more than one coat? I mean, I've lost track of how many North Face jackets I've bought over the years. I've got two active ones right now, and countless other, you know, winter gear or whatever that keeps me warm. I've got some nice hunting clothes that I like to look good when I go out in the woods that keep me warm. But what if someone walked through that door right now? I know it's not too cold of a day right now, but what if someone walked through that door right now and they came in obviously shivering? Would we literally take our expensive, nice coat off and let them have it? I've witnessed some people. There's a coworker of mine. He's one of those guys. He will give you the shirt off his back. He gave his AT&T bought nice jacket and completely disregarded the rules behind you don't just give your uniform clothing out and because somebody could use it, you know, pretend to be a telephone man. And people usually trust the telephone man and you'll let them just walk in your house and do what you need to do. So there's real, he completely disregarded that and let this kid, this was a young kid, he was a contractor. You could tell he didn't have much money and he gave him the coat off his back and disregarded that. If somebody walked in this door, would I give him my nice North Face jacket? Would you give him your nice, expensive, warm coat? I'll admit, that might not be the first thing that comes into my mind is to, oh, here, immediately, here, take my coat. You're cold. You're obviously cold. Take it. In reality, I can replace my North Face jacket any time I want to. I could go right now and go replace it. I'm not tooting my own horn about my paycheck or anything, but in reality, we've all been blessed. There's nothing we can't do without for the sake of someone and helping that person out. The question is, do we love it more than God? Turn over to Luke chapter 3. We'll read this real quick. Luke chapter 3 and verse 11. He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Will we cover our light under a basket or will we put it on a lampstand? Another thought is over in Hebrews chapter 10. I know we're flipping kind of all over the place. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let our light shine by encouraging each other to get where we need to be." That's not to say that none of us are where we need to be at any given moment, but there's always room for improvement. Just as a personal, I guess another work-related example, I just put in 15 years with Bell South, the wireline side of AT&T, and I am transitioning over to wireless. Well, in that 15 years, I had built myself up to be, I don't want to say the best. I want to be humble about it. But I was one of the better engineers, worked myself into the team lead role, and with that comes all kind of other things. And we didn't have a manager that's local in the area, so lots of folks came to me just because they knew I had the knowledge to help them and whatnot. But even then, I'm transitioning over the wireless. Now I'm going from up here to starting all over. I'm completely relearning. But even where I was, there was opportunity for improvement. So there's always room for improvement for us. The second area that I want to look at that tends to let our light shine is by praising and glorifying God. We just looked at good works and some of those thoughts. We'll look at praising and glorifying God, especially with our tongue, especially verbally. And not only with the way we speak, but what people hear us say. Let people hear us praising God. Admittedly, I'm not real good at that. I'm not Mr. Bubbly, outgoing. You know, it's awkward. I'm not real good at that. But let people see us giving glory to God. Again, this is an area that we all understand, but how often do we actually do it? We agree, we know it's a good thing to praise God, but how many times does someone hear us praising God outside of these walls? Do we actually do it? So turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read verses 9 through 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have attained mercy. So, being God's special people means we were brought from darkness into light. And we need to let our light shine. And I think it was the last time Andy Cantrell was here that he went through 1 Peter this last spring, I guess. And I remember as he was going through 1 Peter with us, he mentioned to us where he remembered, I forget what age he was, but he actually said, I was talking with someone, and however it came to be known that Andy was a Christian. And the person he was talking to said, I didn't know you were a Christian. Huh. Is that letting our light shine? Do we want to be that people, that person that nobody even knows we're a Christian as part of letting our light shine? People should know we're a Christian. And one of the ways to do that is to praise God verbally. Let people know that you give God the glory. Turn back to the Old Testament to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm 63, we'll read verses 3 through 5. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. So David here was full of praise for God. He let his mouth, he let his lips show his praise to God. And even angels proclaim how holy God is. In Revelation chapter 4, we won't flip to it, but in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, it says the angels do not rest day or night saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And in light of all this, what can we do specifically? I mean, what's an applicable way we can give glory to God and let our light shine to others? We can take the opportunities. Mention God or Jesus in conversation if it comes up. Make it a point to verbally give God credit for something good that is occurring. You know, oftentimes we go to God in prayer, you know, asking for help, but a lot, that's when we need something, but you know, I there's definitely room for improvement for me to do this, to just pray to God and tell Him thank you. Thank you for your love. Glorify Him. Giving God that credit. Bringing it up in situation, you know, in conversation, you know, if you're like me, it can be a little awkward. But giving in to that awkwardness and just covering your light up under the basket, that's another way we tend to hide our light under the basket. So keep practicing, thinking of ways to verbally give God the glory and praise. And we'll wrap up with this to kind of tie all of this together. If Jesus is the true light and has given us all light, as He says, then when we let our light shine, we're showing Jesus to those around us. Our light is a reflection of the light Jesus has given us and is a reflection of Jesus, the true light. So let's go ahead right now. Go ahead, decide, if you make your mind up, get your mind right ahead of time, as I've mentioned that before in devotions and whatnot, go ahead and decide to let your light shine. Think of ways to you can let your light shine so that when the opportunity does present itself, it becomes a whole lot easier to let your light shine. It'll be a whole lot easier to be seen from the lampstand instead of trying to be seen instead of being hidden under a basket. So let the world see a light so bright and a person so different. That's our theme for this year. Let our light shine so bright and see a person so different that they are drawn to the true light, which is Jesus. So that's the lesson this morning. I hope it's been beneficial, encouraging. I definitely did not intend on that being any kind of scolding to anyone at all, but definitely wanted it to be encouraging. And at this time, we would like to offer an invitation to anyone who is struggling, whether, you know, no matter what it be, whether it be shining your light, if you want prayers, come forward. If there's anyone who has not made the decision to receive the light from Jesus, you can do that now as we stand and as we sing.